Welcome to the Spin Access Podcast. I'm Eric Borzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
Normally we do this at the end and Tyson does it, but I'm going to ask you right now to pause, find an episode of ours that you really, really liked, and share it with some friends. Just send it to them, say, hey, I like this podcast, and I want you to listen to it too. I think you'll like it as well. That out of the way, please do that. We're going to talk about the importance of gaps. Gaps is grip, alignment, posture, slash stance, posture, stance, setup, whatever you want to call it. We'll start with the grip. Very important. Everyone's got to start with that. You can't just not have a grip to hit a golf ball. I don't think. Hasn't been discovered yet. I don't think.
Got to hold it.
Magic.
So it's important on some level. You have to have one. How important is it that it be good?
Yeah, it was, you know, what's funny is when I injured my shoulder, I kid you not, I ordered a left-handed golf club because I was like, okay, if I can't golf right-handed because my shoulder's messed up, maybe I can golf left-handed. And then I got to thinking, well, how would I reteach myself how to golf left-handed? And it would all start from the grip. You need to hold onto the club properly. Most golfers should have the same grip onto the club, so where the club sits in your hands, because it's going to help you be able to control the club face and the hinge throughout the swing. So what we're looking for is how the actual handle sits into the grip is super important for most golfers.
And most golfers get that wrong.
When someone comes to me for that first initial lesson, it's like, okay, I want the club to sit in here. And now, obviously, we're in radio space here, but if you hold your hand out in front of you, if you can imagine, and you put your index finger straight down your hand, so your lead hand, I want...
Perpendicular to your fingers.
Perpendicular to your fingers. I want just a tiny little degree of twist in there, and that's where you want to have that club sitting in there. And then when you're going to wrap your fingers around that, you want to feel like your two fingers are going to grab onto most of that club, and then the meaty part of your heel pad is going to then wrap on top of the club. And that's a great spot for that club to sit inside that lead hand.
Yeah.
And the most common mistake people make is what, Tyson?
You just see them putting the grip up the palm. The heel pad is literally underneath what Jason just described.
Or at least on the side of the grip.
Or on the side, 100%. It's not hard. It's hardly ever on top, right? When you're working with somebody for the first time, to Jason's point, and you asked the question, Eric, you know, how important is it? It's everything, right? I think the easiest swing change you can help somebody make is gripping it better. It definitely will affect what the golf ball does and your control over the golf club.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that when we make a grip change, if you're a student listening, that it should be better right away. It should feel different right away, but you're used to swinging it with whatever grip you had. And so whether we make it stronger or weaker or put it more in the, not in the fingers, but more perpendicular to the fingers or whatever you want to call it. Because I've had people say, oh, he wants it more in the fingers. So they put it way out on their fingertips and then roll the grip up into their hand. It ends up in the palm all the same.
Yes.
That's not what any of us are saying. It's perpendicular-ish, close to that, to your fingers. And part of the problem starts with just gripping the club as you're standing there and the club head's on the ground. The grip runs up your palm if you just kind of hold your arm out there. So I almost insist that my students at first grip the club in the air somewhat.
Yeah.
At least kind of horizontal, maybe slightly vertical. You can do the Adam Scott, like hold it off to the side or hold it behind you type thing. That at least kind of angles your fingers better to the grip without having to like do some kind of contortions a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Scottie Scheffler or Nick Taylor. The best part was watching Nick Taylor win the RBC. He's like obviously Canadian.
What country is he from?
Canada. How many times he would put the club out in front of his hands. This is like trying to win the golf tournament and he's standing there. He's got his hands out in front of his face and he gets his grip properly. And then he's like, all right, now I'm going to walk into the shot. Like he's, you know, going on a date holding like a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah. And you'll even see Scottie, right, Scheffler with his swing trainer. It's up in the air in front of him and he's really looking at how his hands are on that grip. It's really cool to watch.
So we've talked about where we want it generally in the fingers. How much do you care about like grip strength? How many knuckles people see, et cetera? How much does that matter?
I'll say it depends on what the player wants and how fast can they move the club, right? How strong are they? I think for some players, I like to see it maybe a little bit stronger because not necessarily because of the grip, but what it does to their forearms and their shoulders. I don't think a lot of people realize that a stronger grip is going to help you sort of square your body up and that weaker grip is going to maybe open you up a little bit and you don't even realize your path can be contributed to your grip.
Yeah, I like the slightly more stronger side for the average golfer to begin with. You can always change it from there, but too many golfers start with a really, really weak grip, and then it's like, oh, the face is already open. And then what happens is it just snowballs later as they keep hitting shots with an open club face, then the over the tops, the stalls, the flips all come from there.
Yeah, if you go a little stronger, it generally helps a little bit with shaft lean. And what I like to have people do is, because people will say, oh, that's a strong grip. But I say, okay, just stand there. And they let their arms hang down at their sides. And I bring their left hand or their front hand in front of their body without rotating or twisting their forearm. And it's often in a 2.5 knuckle type position. So that's close to their neutral. And so then they're like, oh, okay, my body kind of wants to return to that place. I don't worry as much about the trail hand unless it's almost like we've all seen grips where it's like 90 degrees to the front hand.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so if I hinge the front hand or radial deviation, the trail hand actually goes into extension with that move. And like, I generally like them to be close to matched up where your palms are almost facing each other, regardless of the orientation, strong or weak on the grip. Are you guys similar in that sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, same for sure.
Yeah. So your hands control the club face, and the club face is king in talking about golf instruction. If you have the grip up your palm, it's really tough to use your wrists properly, use your forearm rotation properly. It leads to takeaway issues, which leads to stuff at the top issues, which leads to, we've all seen students whose grip almost like opens up and their hands like open up at the top because they're trying to pull on their right hand for a righty and it pulls it out of the left hand a little bit, or their right hand opens up because they're trying to pull so hard because you can't really hinge your wrist when it's running up the palm a little bit too much. So the grip is very fundamental while not being necessarily a commonality. All good players have good grips. They don't all have the same grip.
I love that.
Yeah, well said.
We'll move on to the A in gaps, which is alignment. This one I think will be quick because I prefer people to be open if they can't be square. I don't have a strong preference for square. I have some students that like to set up closed and can manage to deal with it, but I generally don't like closed stances because it tends to lead to your body saying, oh, the target's over there to the left for a righty and swing compensations and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I completely agree. And you find so many players who will come in and they'll tell you, well, I was told to drop my right foot back if I want to hit a draw. Mm-hmm. Well, now their ankles are aiming 100 yards out to the right and their shoulders are aiming 100 yards to the left. You'll see so many different sort of alignments from their feet, knees, hips, forearms, and shoulders, if you will. Again, I hate to see extremes, but like, let's get those pieces at least sort of aiming in the same spot and not 100 yards right or 100 yards left.
Yeah, for me, alignment, the feet are like the least important of those. The pelvis and the chest, they need to be pretty close to in the same spot. Now, of course, like you said, Tyson, I don't want big extremes, but for instance, sometimes even for myself, like I can't load really well, so I drop my right foot back just a bit.
Absolutely.
And I have had numerous people like, oh, you're aimed out to the right a ton. And I'm like, no, that's just my feet. Look where like my pelvis and my chest are. And they're like, oh,
even your knees are pretty square.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
And then as for like open, closed, again, it depends on what you need to hit a good golf shot. Some people need to feel like they're more open, more closed. And then again, what is open, closed feels to you might also be not what you feel, right? I did a couple golf lessons, a couple in persons, and then like you get back behind that guy and you're like, all right, where are you aimed? And they're like, oh, I'm aimed at that tree in the middle of the fairway. And then you put your driver shaft or an alignment stick down their shoulder and then they're aimed into the left bush. And you're like, okay, that's too open. I need you to feel more closed. It's not that you are closed. It just feels like you're more closed. And then swing down that line. You need to trust that.
This episode of the Spin Axis Podcast is brought to you by Smart to Move, the game changer in golf performance. Their 3D wireless force plates measure your swing from the ground up, giving coaches and players the data they need to unlock more power, consistency, and control. Lightweight, portable, and paired with an easy-to-use iOS app, Smart to Move plates make it simple to see exactly how you're using the ground and how to use it better. Myself, Eric, and soon Jason will all be coaching with them because you can't measure what you can't see. Stop guessing, start measuring. Visit smarttomove.com to take your game to the next level.
we've all had students that come to us and they say, oh, my driver slices, but my irons are just like little draws. And because the mat has square edges and lines on it, I've said this before, I think, on the podcast, they suddenly just start hitting pull draw after pull draw after pull draw after pull draw. And you realize on the golf course, they aim way the heck right.
Yes.
And they think they're hitting little pull draws. And on the mat with square lines and not really a target 170 yards out there, they just hit their shot, which is a pull draw, pull draw, pull draw. And you can start to see, like, your slice is the same swing. You're just not pulling it as much. You can't quite square the face up or close the face as much. So, yeah, it's the same pattern. So let's...
It is.
This is not unusual. You just compensate by aiming way the heck right on the golf course.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I would say with, like, the age of TrackMan is you don't necessarily also need to be square to your target to hit the shot, the intended shot shape you're looking to hit. And one of my favorite videos that I have on my phone and I show my students all the time is Lee Trevino. It's such a good example of the dude's literally aimed into like the next hole's fairway and then it's a in to out like path to his target, but the face is open because his body is so open to the left. He won multiple times, he won majors. Your alignment, again, only needs to work for you to hit the intended shot that you're looking for. And if you're really shallow and are hitting too big of a draw, well, yeah, then you can start just open up your body line to that and just let that help neutralize some of your club path and you hit a good golf shot. Perfect.
Yeah, my brother-in-law actually hits, when he's playing badly, he aims right and hits a slice. And when I can get him to kind of aim open, he actually hits a draw because his body, I think, senses kind of the opposite. Oh, the target is out there to the right, so let me swing out that way. And that's when he actually hits little draws and can play some decent golf. There are people, it's not always true that, like, oh, if I aim my feet left, I'm gonna swing to the left. No, sometimes your body goes, oh, the target feels like way over there to the right, I'm gonna swing that way because I want to hit it that way.
Yep. And to your point, Jason, I think with things like TrackMan and these launch monitors, a lot of people can chase numbers. And they can make a number look how they want it to look and think they're doing something right just by aiming way out to the right or way to the left, when in reality, you're never going to, we wouldn't want you to do that on a golf course, you know, aiming 3 yards or three fairways over unless you're Lee Trevino, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the funny thing too is I remember this avidly. I had a live lesson with a guy and I'm videotaping his swing and he's got a TrackMan and he's hitting balls into just a screen and it's telling him that he's hitting poles. And I'm watching the balls hit into the right side of the screen. And I just stopped for a second and I'm rewatching the video on my phone. And I go, hold on a second. Where is that telling you? Like, what's your face? He's like, it's a close 2 degrees. I'm like, that's not possible. Like, look where the ball launches and hits into your net. He had never calibrated his
TrackMan. I was going to say, it wasn't lined up right.
It wasn't lined up. And I've had that too with like the foresight when you don't have the wand and you just like move it. And then you just place it on the ground. Now you're no longer square to your mat, right? And you're hitting one shot inside and then also you go outside and you might be perfectly square outside, but what you're getting for your data of your ball flight isn't correct because the launch monitor is not set up to how you're aligned.
Yeah, when you see the pros like plop their GC quad down on the range, they're not lining it up, but they don't really care what it says because they can see where the ball goes. They're looking at ball speed, they're looking at spin, they're looking at spin axis, they're looking at those kinds of things which aren't, they don't care where the thing is pointed, really, as long as it's somewhat near the target. So they're not looking to say, oh, I pulled that 2 degrees, but it looked like a push.
Yeah.
I try to test myself and put it down and see if I can get the stick, like when I first put the stick down, to be within 1 degree. You know, I'm pretty close most of the time.
Yeah.
You got to calibrate. You got to aim the thing properly if you're going to care about that feedback. Last thing, posture and setup.
Yeah, this is a big one, right? I think, again, a lot of times, I think the biggest thing is, and I think we've sort of chatted about this a little bit in our notes, you see the hips way back behind the ankles, which gets the weight too far into the heels. And whether or not people are sort of reaching for it, I see people who do the same thing that are too close, like they sort of round their upper body.
So they try to give themselves space.
Yes. But that's sort of really one of the biggest ones. And a lot of people will feel like they get taller, right, with a little bit more of that pressure in the balls of their feet.
And it's easy to see why people do that, because when you just stand up, your weight is centered over your ankles. You're basically just standing over your ankles. It'd be very weird to stand with the weight over the front half of your feet.
Absolutely.
Because your hips are basically right over your ankles when you stand. So like to go into golf posture and keep your hips over your ankles requires, it feels to a lot of people like you're about to fall over forward. What I have people do is set up near a wall and then they lean forward and they're like, whoa, I feel like I'm going to fall over. And then I have them slowly kind of move, slowly start to actually fall. And they realize, oh, I have another 4 or 5 inches before I'm actually starting to fall over.
Yeah.
Which is pretty far, given that your foot is about the size of 12 inches. I'm a big fan of that. There are Keegan Bradley sets up way in his heels, but you know what? His pelvis moves 5 inches toward the golf ball during his golf swing.
Right.
Great if you're Keegan and you've done that for literally your whole life. Maybe not great for a guy that's going to practice once a week.
Yeah. Balance in itself, your brain's number one goal is for you not to fall over so you don't get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger.
Yep.
The second that you start getting out of balance, your brain does no longer Canada, care. Right? Of course, yeah, that's how we pull our dog sled. They're like the lead. It doesn't care. It doesn't care where the face is, doesn't care where the shaft is, and where you're striking it. It is like, all right, full systems aboard, everything else other than we're going to fall over, let's start standing up, and that leads into all sorts of bad shots. So if you can be in a good balanced position in your dress position, it goes a long way. There's a couple articles from like Golf Digest magazines are like burned into my brain. And one of them was that like sitting into a bar stool at your dress position. It's like, man, that's so bad for you. And I have people come in all the time or online again. It's like, okay, just get into that position, not even holding a golf club, and then try and turn or rotate. Can you? And they're like, no, I like that. This feels like I'm jamming into my hips. Well, that's because it's not how the human body is made to turn and rotate. So let's get into a good balanced position. For posture, everyone has a little bit different body type. So some people like myself, I have really long arms to a little bit of a shorter torso. Our arms are going to hang a little bit from our shoulder sockets. And then you get like those people that have really, really long torsos to like short arms. You're going to have a slightly different setup than some people, right? Keegan Bradley, again, like that is his setup. Tony Finau, again, is someone that's like, oh, that's a really funky setup. But if they work for you, great. But if you don't, what you want is you want to feel like your arms are hanging freely from your shoulder sockets, straight down or a little bit extended. The arm should never really be back towards the body. That's going to jam you up in your downswing.
Maybe a few degrees with a wedge, and a few degrees out with a driver, of course. But yeah, I'm a big fan of kind of arms almost hanging vertically.
Yeah, and I would say a lot of people get really concerned about sort of the roundness of their back. I hear that a lot in lessons, like guys that sort of are golf swing geeks that come in and they're trying to get better. And they're like, well, what about the little bit of roundness in my back? And I'm like, listen, you're 65 years old. Your body type is not an Adam Scott body type. You're not going to have a nice flat back.
Well, and Adam Scott has gone to a more rounded back.
Absolutely.
Not just because he's gotten older. I hate the scoopy back, what I call the scoopy back.
Yes. S posture. Yeah.
Concave, I think. Look in the, you know, just above your tailbone.
Oh, it's S posture or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go, just relax, like almost slump forward. Relaxed muscles tend to be fast muscles, and that scoopy back and the straight back and on the stick your butt out and all that stuff just locks up a bunch of movement.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. Oftentimes when you get people's hips in the right spot, close to those ankles, all of a sudden you see their back sort of get in a better position, right? And they're focused on the back. And like you said, their butt's way back behind them. Like, man, you're never going to be able to get in the position you would like.
So we've solved it. That's the fix.
Set. Nailed it.
Yeah.
This is the episode that everyone should listen to and share, right? Solves all the problems.
When I first started making like lefty swings, because I think every instructor has done this, I actually like waggled in the wrong direction. Like I waggled in the direction that you like do as a righty. I felt like a moron, but I was like waggling in the wrong. I was like, wait, hold on.
That's amazing.
I had to like rethink that part of it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I love
doing
that.
But yeah, my lefty swing is actually in some ways better than my righty swing, which is annoying. But
yeah, does it still feel terrible or does it feel okay?
I've always made a decent pass at it lefty.
Yeah,
I can do it with some speed.
Mine feels bad because that actually pulls more on my labrum tear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So again, great to be back, guys. Good conversation. Like Eric said at the beginning, share this with your friends. We'll see you next time.
And remember, you can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis, and you can find us online at thespinaxis.com.